Before I start the second scripture reading, seeing Addie up here and watching her grow and mature in her love of music, I probably should have said this when we were doing praise, but we have a number of other young people in our congregation who made us proud this past week, those of us who were able to attend the Mackinac City Schools Christmas concert.
Yeah.
And for many of them, we've seen them mature and grow in their performance. To you kids, congratulations on that performance. It was wonderful.
Amen.
The second scripture reading comes from John. This is following him being asked repeatedly whether he was the Messiah or whether he was Elijah or who he really was and what baptizing he was doing with water, what gave him that authority. And this follows that when he says, no, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not Elijah. And this is what he says. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. And God's blessing be on the reading of his word.
Thank you, Dana. I'm not sure this week why I chose Lamb of God, but I chose Lamb of God, and you're there sitting in the pews, so that's what you get this morning is Lamb of God. If you were an animal, what would you want to be like? Now, I ask this question because, you know, sometimes like if you're watching a football player or something, you say, man, that dude's a bear. Or, you know, we use terms like that to describe people. And I wonder if you were described as an animal, what you would like to be described as, like a duck-billed platypus or, oh, you don't like that one. I was wondering if anyone here would have been described as that. I make you wonder a little bit. But, you know, there's this there's book written. I can't remember who the author is right now. It might be Gary Smalley. I'm not sure. Wrote a book, anyway, describing different personalities that we have as people and used four different animals to describe the kind of person that you are. And the four that he mentioned were golden retriever, beaver, lion, and otter. And when you think of those four animals, you certainly think certain kinds of things, don't you? The lion is more of a kind of a take the bull by the horns kind of a thing. I mean, you're kind of the leader, right? The lion's the leader. Golden retriever, you know, that warm little fuzzy little animal that's just likes to be with people and that sort of thing. You know, the golden retriever. The otter. Now, I did this, by the way, and I'm an otter. I just like to play. And, you know, that's an otter. If you ever watch an otter on TV and they're just playing all over the sliding and doing all that sort of stuff. And then there was the beaver, the busy beaver, always making sure that everything is just right and having to do all those sort of things. Well, when we think of those animals, we think, I believe, at least I do, I think I have positive thoughts about all those animals as they're described. And if I was described as that kind of an animal, I would say, you know, thank you. That's a compliment. Word associations. I mean, some words, when we hear about that association, some of these animals, it elicits maybe a positive response and some don't. I didn't get a real positive response to the duck-billed platypus. I'm not sure why. kind of an odd animal, right? Nicknames bring meaning to a person. You know how sometimes people will give you a nickname, and I had several nicknames growing up. I won't mention those to you, but you probably had some of those too. Some of them maybe you liked and some of them you didn't like. But it always identified someone in some way when you were given that nickname. Someone associated something with you and gave you that name to kind of define that. We have learned thus far in just the first couple weeks here of Advent, there's 104 different names. And for those of you who are here the last 2 weeks, I made sure that the last 2 weeks we had the bulletins that I had this insert in there that showed you the 104 different names that are given to Jesus, names or titles that are given to him. And I always wonder, how does the Lamb of God, does that sound like a complimentary title? When I think of Lamb, I think of helpless. I mean, growing up on a farm and the little lambs when they're born, they're just gentle little things, tender little things. You got to take care of them. And I didn't necessarily associate Lamb with a person as something that would be, especially someone who is considered to be God come in human flesh, as a complimentary title. Would you? You see, when he was given this title, those who heard him say what he said didn't quite understand yet what that title meant. Get into the mind of a Jew in that day. For one, lamb was a staple in their diet. I mean, that was probably the most often eaten meat would be lamb. But also something else that was very much a part of their life was what? Lamb was used for something else that you and I are well aware of, and it was the animal sacrifices at the temple. It was the lamb. What could possibly be the meaning of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? We know. We're looking back. You know what it means. But what could possibly be the meaning to someone who was there who heard this? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What would they be thinking? It's obvious, or seems obvious to us. But I want to go back to the birth again. Because, you know, this is the time of year that you and I are talking about the Advent season. And we're looking forward to Christmas. And I want to go back to the incarnation, the birth, when Jesus became human flesh and dwelt with man, with humanity. He came as a babe. And he was born in Bethlehem. There's something special about Bethlehem that until last year, and in fact even reminded me recently, I didn't really know this about Bethlehem, but Bethlehem was a very special place in that day. Around Bethlehem was where there were special flocks of sheep that were raised that were used specifically and especially for the sacrifices in Jerusalem at the temple. They were to be unblemished lambs because, you know, if you were to sacrifice a lamb at the temple, the lambs need to be unblemished lambs. And as I was reading one of the devotionals that, of course, Mike had given to me, the Book of Mysteries, I had marked that one about a year ago. I thought at some point I want to share something about that. And then just a little over a week ago, Ken Lanninga reminded me of that actual devotional that I had read about a year ago, and I thought, okay, maybe it's time to talk a little bit about this. You see, this was a devotional written by a rabbi, a Jew, someone who had Jewish eyes and could see things that I, as a Gentile, didn't even know. And I didn't know, for instance, that Bethlehem was a place noted for special flocks of sheep. And these special flocks of sheep were not for eating. They were for sacrifice. Special care had to be taken to make sure that these lambs were unblemished. They would go so far at times They would go so far as to swaddle these lambs in cloth to make sure that they wouldn't be injured, because then there'd be a blemish on the lamb. Are you beginning to see something here a little bit, just a little bit this morning? Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Now, of course, we know the story. He was born in Bethlehem because the census was to be taken. And, of course, ancestry was there in Bethlehem. So Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem in order to be included in the census, because it was mandated by the king. And you got to do what they tell you to do. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, place that was especially noted for these flocks of sheep. Brings me to John chapter 1, verse 29 and following, when this is long after Jesus was born. He was now an adult and he was heading over to see John, and he was going to be baptized at the River Jordan. And here he is given this title. He shared this title, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. It seems to fit now a little bit, doesn't it? You see, he was born where sheep were born, specifically sacrificial sheep. Until a year ago, I didn't catch it. Until a year ago, I didn't really realize the importance of this, and how, if you were a Jew at that time and really followed what a Jew would know, maybe some of this stuff would start to pop out to you a little bit. But it didn't really to them either at the time. The disciples didn't really quite get it. Not only was he born where sheep were born, but why would the author tell us in the Gospels that Jesus was swaddled, maybe even with the same cloth they used to swaddle the little lambs that were born? You see, I grew up on a farm, and early on in my early years, it was a dairy farm. And then after I was about 5 years old, we were a beef farm. And then when I was in my late teens, we switched. We had both sheep and beef at the time. And so I know a little bit about sheep. They aren't the smartest animal in the world, but they're cute little things. But any time we'd have a newborn sheep that was out amongst all the other sheep, we wanted to take that little lamb or lambs with the mother and put them in a little pen, in part to protect that little lamb from getting hurt, being out there, and maybe even being some way drifting off away from the mother. They could bond in that little pen for a little while. And then you'd release them out into a bigger pen where they'd get familiar with everybody else, and then they'd get released out with all the other sheep. I get this a little bit. I find it interesting in this story about Jesus being born in a manger in Bethlehem that the first visitors we see are who? The shepherds. These perhaps being the same shepherds that took care of the sacrificial lambs that would be offered in the temple. Little did they realize, as they came to worship the little babe in Bethlehem in a manger, that this too was a sacrificial lamb. The story takes on new meaning for me when I see it from the eyes of a Jewish person, and see that some of what's going on here is deeper than I ever even realized. And it was deep enough for me because I'm a pretty simple person. I didn't need to know this. But boy, did it add a depth to the story, and affirmed for me even more the God-ordained timing of everything that happened, and where it happened, and how it happened, and the names that were given to his son and what he was actually going to do for us. All this stuff is just painted so perfectly and beautifully for me. How in the world could I not believe in the Son of God, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world? There are many Jews today that eyes are open to the Messiah that came. And we talked about Messiah earlier. And they start to see some of this stuff that just eluded us Gentiles. We didn't realize a lot of this stuff. But isn't it amazing all the detail that you find even behind the words that are shared right there in the Word of God, that this one who came, why we were told he was born in a manger, in swaddling clothes, in Bethlehem. I think God was trying to show us something even deeper than what we maybe got before. This little babe was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Maybe God was trying to show his chosen people who Jesus really was. Some would get it. Some would look back and see it. Some would not. I ask you and I, as we close our time this morning, what about you? What about me? I want us to know that Jesus is more than a character in the Bible that we have good stories about. I want you to know that Jesus is more than probably the nicest guy that ever lived. I want you to know more than Jesus being a greater example than anyone else we ever knew of that ever lived on this earth. I want you to know that Jesus is more than one who had some really cool quotes in the New Testament. And there's a lot of red letters written about him in some of our Bibles that have the red letter edition. Because if that's all he is, folks, he can't save you. It's more than that. And even in this little understanding this morning that started in Bethlehem in a manger as a babe who was wrapped in swaddling clothes, God was trying to show his people and by extension you and me, this one who was born a babe was the unblemished Lamb of God who was going to take away the sin of the world. We see that 30-some years later. We look back at that and say, wow. He was showing us that even then in the manger on that day that he was born. Do you need more evidence than this? That this was the plan of God, ordained by God, accomplished by God? I don't. He's given me more than enough. And I pray that's more than enough for you as well. Let's pray. God, another title that you gave your son. Lamb of God. It doesn't seem very complimentary. A lamb doesn't seem to be too strong. A lamb is not what we would think of when we're thinking of strength or power or authority or kingship or anything like that. Lamb seems helpless. But I'm also reminded of that wonderful passage in the book of Revelation where John's trying to understand all this apocalyptic stuff, all these things that were going to be happening. And he's looking and he says, behold, I see someone who looks like a lamb as if it was slain. John was seeing the wounded Jesus. And yet in that same verse, he goes from seeing a lamb that looked as if it was slain to the Lion of Judah. One and the same. You see, the only two animals that were used as descriptive terms for Jesus, dear God, was lamb and lion. He came as a lamb. He comes back as a lion. And as believers and the one who came as a lamb and paid the price for us, we know we have victory because Jesus comes back as the Lion of Judah and we have victory with Him. We can celebrate that. We give You thanks and praise for Your Word that shows us these truths. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's turn and